Lord, we thank you that you are the worthy Lamb that made it possible for us to have access. Your precious blood cleanses us. Sanctify us, O God, spirit, soul, and body, this day. Help us, O God, to come into a true awareness of who you are and who we are in you. Lord, O God, that all fear, all worries, all doubts, all confusions may be forever banished as we uphold your glorious name and cleave unto you, the author and finisher of our faith. We give you praise, Lord, in Jesus, our sovereign Lord's name. We call it so done. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You may be seated. We serve an awesome God. Thank you so very much for leading us in worship. This morning, we began sharing some thoughts about being in the will of God. The will of God. One of the things we talked about this will of God is the very fact that the will of God doesn't necessarily mean that everything moves smoothly for you, but that in spite of it, that God's hand upholds you, God's hand establishes you, God's hand keeps you. That when you are in the will of God, even when things are not going the way that you want, that does not mean that you need to flip-flop. Amen? You need to remain steadfast, because flip-flopping places your circumstance in the stead of God. It means that your circumstance begins to lead you, and not God's word, not God's will, but your circumstance. And if you commit yourself to be led by circumstances, then what happens ultimately is this, that circumstances begin to direct your path. But God's word says, acknowledge me in all of your ways, and I will direct your path. Somebody help me with that, sister. I don't need anybody in front there. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So we need to know the grace of God and the power of God in our lives, moving in us and with us at all times, pursuing the things of the Spirit, following the leading of the Spirit, directed and guided by the Spirit, and moving by the authority of the Word of God. The will of God is the Word of God. Our Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 6 tells us, he says we should pray this way, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Lord, let your name be glorified. Let your will be done here in the earth as it is in heaven. Amen? So we do know that God has a will. God doesn't wake up, because he doesn't sleep anyway. He doesn't wake up and say, oh, what are we going to do today? The agenda of God is already drawn out. It's already established. Even before the foundations of the earth, the Bible tells us that Christ died for us. So the work of salvation was even done before God created the earth. That's a remarkable thought. That's a very remarkable thought. God sees past, present, and future, and he sees all of that as now. Amen? God has a will. I need to become aware of that will. And the way I get to connect with that will of God is by coming to God in the place of prayer, in the place of worship, in the place of adoration. As you come close to God, as you draw near to God, God begins to reveal his secrets to you. The Word of God says God will do nothing in the earth except that he first reveals his secrets to his servants, His servants are those that serve him. Amen. The prophets. So we do know that God has a will. God wants to do something, and he will do nothing without the prophetic statement. Praise the Lord. But how am I going to know what the prophetic statement of God is? I get to know that by drawing near to God, by seeking the heartbeat of God, by seeking to please him. When you seek to please God, and the Bible tells us that without faith it is impossible to please God. When you seek to please God in your life, that is the passion of your heart. God, I want to please you every day of my life. God begins to reveal secrets to you. God begins to show you what his will is. But in manifesting that will to you as an individual, you as the individual need to proclaim what God said. Praise the Lord. Now, we do know that a prophet, Jeremiah, is a prophet of God. How many of you will agree with that? God called him. While he was yet in his mother's womb, God called him and ordained him to be a prophet to the nations. And he did what God called him to do. But one of the prophets that struggled, went through difficult times, imprisoned, went through all kinds of crises, was Jeremiah. We have the impact of the ministry of Jeremiah today. And generations to come, if the Lord tarries, will continually receive the powerful ministry of Jeremiah. But Jeremiah was imprisoned, was thrown into pits, was tortured. And we really don't have a record of anybody that really got saved from the ministry of Jeremiah. Not that I can see. But he was a prophet. You say, Pastor, what are you talking about then? I'm saying the thing is that you be called of God and be in the will of God and continue in the will of God, because that's all you're responsible for. That you be in the will of God. And when you are in the will of God, even though the days may be dark, the fact that you are doing what God has called you to do is what God has called you to do. And that's what God is going to ultimately honor. That you are faithful to your assignment. Your faithfulness to another person's stuff that you are looking into is not what God assigned you to. And you're not going to be rewarded for that. You're rewarded for the assignment God called you to. Now, if you go to a restaurant, for example, the chances are that you're going to see a waiter or waitress. You might see a hostess. But it's a very good chance that you might not see the cook. But your purpose in going to that restaurant is not to go see the waiter or the waitress. You went to that restaurant to be fed. Hello? That's why you went. But you don't see the person who's really feeding you. You place your order, you wait for it, and it is the cook that provides what you need and what you ate. That cook did all the chemistry of cooking. You didn't see him. I went to a restaurant today. I didn't see the cook. I saw the hostess. I saw the waitresses and the waiters. I didn't see no cook. But I ate well. You may not be seen by the public. But when God has called you to do something, your impact may be greater than those that everybody sees. You can be behind the scenes doing the will of God and have a greater reward than I do. Somebody listening? It is not, this is not what gives me my reward. What gives me my reward is that I'm doing my assignment. And if I'm supposed to be behind the scenes and I'm struggling to be behind this pulpit, it doesn't matter how long I stay here. It doesn't really matter how many people get saved because I'm standing here. I'm not rewarded for this. I'm rewarded for doing what God called me to do in the Christian education department, behind the camera. You see, there's somebody behind the camera right now. Nobody sees them. But what they do and what they're doing behind the scenes in the soundboard, in the audio-video department, cause what I'm saying here to reach out there. They are doing the will of God for them. I am doing the will of God for me. And when they do the will of God, and I do the will of God, somebody gets fed. When the cook does his job, and the waiter and the waitress do their job, somebody gets fed. If the cook cooks all the good meals out there, and nobody brings that food out to me, I stay hungry. I stay frustrated. I am confused. What is going on? Did somebody die over there? Or are they looking for the cow to kill? Why is the food not here? Is somebody catching the chicken yet? That's because they're not doing their job over there. Everybody is called to do their assignment. Do you know yours? Do you know yours? Because if you don't know what your assignment is, you remove yourself from where God has assigned you to do something else that somebody else is doing because you like what they are doing. The cook says, you know what? Nobody gives me any tips on the back here. And I don't know what they're doing with the tips over there in the front. They should be sharing with me. I am not cooking today. I am going to waitress today. Guess what happens? Nobody gets fed. Nobody gets any tips. Is that true or not? When you serve in your place and you do your thing, somebody gets blessed. We reduce the tension. We reduce the confusion. We reduce the harassment because everybody is doing their thing. So it is concerning the will of God. You see, as we are here as the body of Christ, when you are waking every day with the faith that God has given to you for that day, you begin to find out a common thread that the will of God for you as an individual is connected to the will of God for the body. Let me say that again. The will of God for you as an individual is connected to the will of God for the body. I'll say it a third time. That the will of God, the personal will of God for you, is connected to the will of God for the body. Because God causes His glory to be manifested in you so that you can present and bring to the body that which God has given to you as an individual, and then all of us get fed. And so when your love for God is strong, and your love for God's people is strong, God begins to open doors for you. Please hear what I'm saying to you. Those that are planted in the house of the Lord flourish in his courts. If you don't have a love for God that translates to a love for the people that God has called you to, and bear in mind that I'm not just called to you, you are called to me. I'll say that again. I'm not just called to serve you, you are called to serve me. And when you bring your best to the table, it creates opportunities. Because vision is enlarged and increased by what we have available. Let me put it this way. I'm in the kitchen today for whatever reason. You're hungry. You go to the fridge and you see chicken and you see beef and you see fish and you see whatever other ingredients, and you look in. You have your oils and you have your onion and you have your peppers and all of that. That determines the possibilities of what you are going to cook. But you go to the fridge and you want to cook chicken, but all you've got is fish. Guess what is going to determine what you're going to cook? You're going to cook fish. That makes sense? Whatever it is that we do is determined by what ingredients we have. And the ingredients are produced and released and brought by every individual in the house. There's an ingredient that God wants you to bring. There's one 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 God wants me to bring. And as we bring the ingredients, it opens up our possibilities. It creates the possibilities of what we can do, how much we can accomplish based on what we've got. That makes sense? Now, I want to go a little bit higher. I had something totally different that I wanted to share with you. But this is the way the Lord is leading me to come. So I'm coming the way he's leading. Amen? The reality is this. Having said, and how, and so true is the statement I just made about your ingredients determining your possibilities. But God goes a little bit higher than that. God goes to the arena and the realm of what is possible in him, which is beyond what is possible based on what ingredients you and I bring. Now, he gives us whatever it is that he gives to us to bring to the table so that we can have this nice meal, this banquet, this buffet. God goes to another realm. And this is the realm that causes us not to be in charge. Because God will do what he wants to do with or without you. But the thing is, I don't want God to do it without me. I want to be part of what God is doing. I don't want to be outside of it, no way, no how. But if you ever think that God cannot because you didn't, think again. He said, if you don't praise me, even these stones are going to cry out. God can use a donkey if that's what he needs to use. God can use a crazy man outside if that's what he needs to use. If he wants to use somebody and do something, he can do whatever he wants to do, whichever way he elects to. So you and I must never think we are indispensable. Well, I can frustrate what God wants to do. You kidding me? You? Pipsqueak Herman, whatever. You think you're going to frustrate what God wants to do? Not possible. It is not possible for any one of us to frustrate the will of God. When God is on the move, he's on the move. Hallelujah. He's on the move, and he's going to do what he wants to do. He just wants me to be part of it. Let me say that again. God will do what God wants to do. He just wants me to be part of it. I'll say it the third time. God can do whatever he wants to do. He just wants me to be part of it. Adam did not say, let there be light, did he? Adam did not call the trees and the land and the fishes and everything into place. He didn't put the stars up there. Now, why on earth does God, and what does he need Adam doing, calling anything a name of anything? And God presented the animals, and Adam said, you're a cow. And God says, yes, that's the name. Elephant, yes, that's the name. Oh, look at this little turtle. Oh, yeah, God says, yeah, that's the name, Adam. That's the name. What was it that God was doing? Bringing him to be part of the family. Participate. Partner with me. Do I need you? No. But I want you. God doesn't need any one of us. He wants us. He chooses us. No matter how messed up we are, God chooses us. Say, I choose you. I'm going to do something with your life. And that's how God chooses people and ordinary people begin to do extraordinary things. And the incredible thing about it is that when you lose sight of the fact that God can do whatever it is he wants to do with or without you, that we become arrogant to think it's me that's doing it. And we begin to pull rank. And God says, no. Not so, mister. I chose you. I want to use you. And doesn't matter whether you're 5 years old or 95. Because many times you won't think it's too late for God to do anything with my life. Huh? I'm 100 years old. What can God do with my life? Listen, our Lord Jesus Christ did ministry in 3.5 years and changed the world. Can God use a 100-year-old? Absolutely. A great revival took place in Europe in the 40s. Actually started out, I believe, around 1907 and went through to the 40s. And it started with two old women. One was bent over, crippled, messed up. The other one was just as bad, and they could not even leave their house to go to church. But they loved God, and they were interceding and crying out to God and saying, God, you got to do something. Do something in our land. Do something. Do something. Father, do something. Do something in this land. Do something in this country. Do something. Let there be a revival. These two women were praying, crying out to God. What would you know? God heard. And a revival broke out. God raised up a minister who began to minister the word of God, and people were coming to these two women's house. And it moved past that point into the great church, and the revival kept on just going. Started by the intercession of two women who were living in their darkest days, who had a love for God. You know the incredible thing about that story I just told you? There was a young 10-year-old. His name was Donald. That God began to use, a 10-year-old. God began to use this young man in a mighty way by the power of God. And this ministry continued to expand. And people left from that revival and came over to the States. Let me cut a long story short. The Bible that was used in that great revival so many years ago, today is in the hands of another man called Donald. Because that Donald, this Donald, is connected back, way back to that revival that started with two women praying. And that Bible is in the Oval Office of the United States being held by another one called Donald. It started from way back there. They did not know when they were praying then for a revival that God was using them to establish something way down in the future. You may like Donald Trump or don't like Donald Trump. It doesn't matter. The fact is, God used two old women who knew what their assignment was. They never saw the president. They never saw that what they were doing was going to be in the United States. Did not know that. But that's the story. You may think I don't count. Whatever it is I'm doing, it's not important. Are you kidding me? Do you know what impact you're carrying when you present yourself as a living sacrifice unto the Lord? Whose life is going to be changed? Whose life is going to be transformed? Which mind is going to be renewed? Who is going to be revived? because of something that happened in your life. God has His ways. In fact, the Lord says, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. You never know how God is going to use your life. But child of God, I want you to know that the will of God is this, that He uses you. And the Word of God says, seek first the kingdom of God and all of His righteousness, and every other thing shall be added unto you. Everything else is going to be added to you. But seek first the kingdom of God. Oh, I don't know what is going to happen with the little that I have. And God says, you think too small. I can take water and make it wine. I can take 5 loaves and 2 fishes and feed a multitude of 5,000 hungry men, not counting the women or the children, and end up at the end of it, when you collect the fragments, with 12 baskets more than I started with. That's the God that we have. Lord, this is me. I present myself as a living sacrifice to you. Use my life. I know you want to use it. Not because you need to use it, but because you've elected to use my life. So God, I give you my life. I do not know how you're going to make any good come out of this life, but I know you can. So I give you me. I'm willing to hear your voice. Awaken my hearing to hear what your spirit has to say. And God says, you shall know. Yes. No matter what, I'm trusting you. And God says, okay, let's go. Let's go. Let's see what we can accomplish together. And meanwhile, He's doing all the accomplishing, but you're in for the ride. Amen? You're in for the ride. God can use any one of us in a mighty, mighty way. It is His will. So, Pastor, what are you saying? I'm saying, it doesn't matter where you find yourself right now. If you let God, God can make something good come out of your situation. You know, never told this story before, I don't think. The chances are I would have been speaking German. So, oh, what do you mean? Yeah, because my dad was trying to send me to East Germany, then called GDR, to go to school there on a scholarship. There's this scholarship available, and everybody was all running for it, you know. And my dad was doing whatever it is that he could do as a person of influence to make it possible for me to go to the GDR. But God had something else on His mind. No, you're not. He's not going over there. Not that there's anything wrong with speaking German or going to Germany, east or west, doesn't matter. But that's not what God had for me. And so what did God do? unraveled the plan. Just unraveled it. Didn't work. Shortly after that is when, after he could not get me over to the GDR, he found me that school called Nana College. You remember me talking about Nana College? And that's how I ended up in Nana College, because he wanted me to be involved in something, doing something, and that's how I ended up in Nana College. Mama, at the same time, the uncle was trying to send her over to the UK. And God says, no, you're not doing that. She's not going to know UK. Was it good for her to go to the UK and on the scholarship? Absolutely. But was that what God wanted for her? No. So what did God do? Took off those wheels. And the uncle decided, okay, to Nana College you go. So here are two people being sent who wanted to be sent to different parts of the world. And God says, no, that's not where you're going. You're going over to this school over here where old people go to. Here we are teenagers. I'm going to the school for the old fogies. No insult. But that's where we ended. God knew what he wanted. Say, Pastor, what are you trying to get at? I'm saying this. When you let God take charge, he will do what's right for you and with you. Don't cry all kinds of crazy tears because a disappointment took place. You got disappointed. You believed God for this and you wanted this so bad, and then it fell apart. And now you throw your hands up. Well, this prayer thing doesn't work. Well, I don't know the will of God. Well, this and... No, you are in the will of God. God knows exactly what he's doing. And he's going to get you to the place you ought to be at the fullness of time. When you arrive, you will say, wow, if it weren't for God. I went to that college. I got called to ministry. You've heard me tell this story. I left that country, that which my dad had been asking for the longest time and wanting to do, because he didn't want me to stay in the country. He wanted me out there somewhere. There's a man of God, he's gone home to be with the Lord, one of the best preachers I've ever heard. Real power, short guy like this. But a very sharp dresser. Oh my. This guy knew how to pick his clothes. And it fit him perfectly. The guy goes into the store and picks out a suit, and it was like it was tailor-made for him. You know, one of those people, they make you crazy. Because everything fits them that they wear. You know, say, come on now. When are you going to wear something that doesn't look good so at least we can laugh for a moment? This guy wears everything and it's nice. This man of God took me, told my spiritual father about me. So there's a young man God has called in a mighty way. You got to meet him. So my spiritual father sent a letter of invitation to me to be a guest speaker. Never seen me. Never heard me. But because of the commendation of this man, now I didn't get to speak. in that conference, but I attended, but I was invited as a guest speaker. When I got to San Diego with this man, I knew one thing. My dad did not want me back in the country. You're going out with this guy and you're staying out there. Don't you dare come back here. Well, I wasn't intending on coming back either. But that was the first step. I stepped into a land, July the 12th of 1978. Stepped in San Diego. God's word says, wherever you place your foot, you can possess. So I was there. This conference was taking place for 3 days. And on the last day of the conference, I was in the lobby area of the hotel. There's these two young ladies. One's name was Darlene. Darlene, I won't tell the last name. The other girl's name, I don't remember. But she and this other girl saw me in the lobby and said, oh, let's introduce you to our mom. So they introduced me to this lady called Ethel. I won't mention her last name. She's gone home to be with the Lord. She became like a mother to me. But I didn't know what God was doing. The conference is over, and now John is going to leave, and I don't have a place to stay. I don't have money. I don't have nothing. I'm a teenager. Introduced me to this lady, greeted her, and these two girls walked out, went outside the building. I'm still there in the lobby area chatting with this lady. They just, oh, you're from Nigeria? And they're talking to me about Nigeria, you know, how people are, you know, they want to know more about me, and I'm talking to them, and these young girls are gone. I knew nothing about elevators and about underground parking and stuff like that. But while I was busy talking to them, all of a sudden I see these two girls, they didn't come through from the outside back in. They come up this elevator right behind us. I'm thinking, what just happened? Where did these girls come from? I didn't know there was a parkade underneath. Are you with me so far? Anyway, we struck up. They gave me their phone number, and I kept the phone number, and I went with John Azeke to a city called Las Vegas. And then Las Vegas, John is going to leave me. Got an interesting place to take a young man to. I don't know one soul in North America. Not a soul, not one person. But I knew God had brought me here. And I wasn't going to worry about it. I had my return ticket. If I had to go back home, I'd go back home. So while I was there in Las Vegas, at the house of Mr. Lee, I'm not going to mention his last name, I decided to call this Ethel lady and say, hello, it was nice chatting with you, how are you? And she says, listen, I would like for you to come visit with me. I said, you want me to come over to where you live? She says, yes, just come. I said, okay, I will come. So I flew from Las Vegas to San Jose. And they welcomed me at 4707 Easy Street. And I'm there. It was while I was there that I got a letter from my spiritual father, Maurice Arula. I didn't tell anybody where I was going to be. I didn't know where I was going to be. But I got a letter at 4707 Easy Street from my spiritual father, Maurice Arula, inviting me to the very first school of ministry. Till this day, I don't know how he knew where I was. I never met him in person. I came, I was invited to come to this meeting, but you know how meetings go and how things happen. The opportunity to meet the man in person, to say, hello, I'm the one that you invited to come speak. I didn't have that opportunity. I never saw him face to face and chatted with him for one moment, but I get a letter. Even in this dark moment when I didn't know what was going on, I get a letter. And I go to San Diego and went through the scholarship of 6 months. Yeah, the scholarship was supposed to go to the GDR. But God says, no, no. You're going to get a scholarship, all right? But it's going to be to this school of ministry. So I entered in the very first school of ministry. And I'm there, the very first school of ministry. 6 months were up. Now I have to go back. I said, God, last day of graduation, if you will call it that. There was a man. His name I will mention in full. He's gone home to be with the Lord. Called Edwin Cole. To minister to men. He had gone through a place called Costa Mesa. He'd met the president of this particular school called Southern California College. And he came through from there to San Diego. And when he got to San Diego, they introduced him to Papa Cerullo. Said, this is such and such a person. And Papa Cerullo did something that he never does. At least I don't know that he's done that. He decides that this guy was going to be his guest speaker for the final day of meeting with the very first set of School of Ministry graduates. So Edwin Cole is the one ministering. And while he's ministering, I'm seated there in the audience, and the Lord says to me, when this meeting is finished, I want you to go to that man and talk to him. He knows where you're going to go to next. I'm thinking, this guy knows where I'm going to go to next? Yeah. I said, but then how am I going to meet this guy? He's on the stage, and when he finishes, they're going to whisk him off, and I'm not going to see him. And sure enough, that's what happened. Bow your heads in prayer, and the organ is playing, and I looked, and Edwin Cole is gone. He's no longer on the stage. So I'm seated there in the audience, all dejected. God, you couldn't have spoken to me, because if you really spoke to me, that man would have come to me, blah, 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 and so on and so forth. So I'm there. Oh, God, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? I know nowhere else to go. What am I going to do? After a few minutes, maybe 10, 15 minutes, I decided to walk out. Well, there's no Edwin Cole. That's the person God said I should talk to. And it's not there. So I walk out. I get to the hallway. And who is there? Edwin Cole. He's busy chatting with people. And I go to him. I said, I'd like to talk to you, sir. He says, I'll talk with you. Just give me a moment. He finishes with those guys and then turns to me. Said, now, let me give you 100% of my attention. What exactly do you need? So I told him, I said, the Lord told me that you have the answer to where I'm supposed to go next. I've just graduated from the school of ministry, and everybody in the school of ministry is supposed to go back to their country. That's the reason you went through these 6 months of training. You go back to your home country and do what you have been taught for this last 6 months. And here the guest speaker at the last meeting, I'm telling him that I'm not going home. And you have the answer to where I'm supposed to go. Are you with me so far? So he looks at me. He said, God told you that? I said, yes. Puts his hand in his pocket and brings out a business card. And he says to me, I was just at this college, Southern California College, and I met with the president today before I got here. Take this card and go to Costa Mesa and talk to that president and tell him I sent you. So I went to Southern California College, met the president, and said, okay, well, this is what the fees are going to be, and this is what you need to do, and we accept you as a student. What would you like to do? I said, I'd like to do a degree in communications, I said. Okay, all right. Let me not keep on telling the story. But anyway, I told you all of that to tell you this. God will direct your path. When you think you are at the last swing, God throws another rope, and like Tarzan, you grab to the next vine and you swing to the next one. You're swinging from one tree to the other. And you keep on going. You may not know the end of your story, but God knows it. Amen? God knows it. And that's why you must not panic. Do you know where the Lord Jesus Christ said to the disciples, who do men say I am? Some say that you're Elijah. Some say you're Jeremiah. You say this, that. But who do you say that I am? And said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. It was in a place called Caesarea Philippi. There are two Caesareas. But this one, Caesarea Philippi. Jesus said, on the basis of this truth, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell, the government of hell, shall not prevail over my church. The place where this took place, when I take you, some of you, I hope a good number of you will come with us to Israel. We'll give you more details on that in the days to come. The place was a place where they served a god called Pan. This god Pan was a half goat, half man god. And part of the worship of this god Pan was that they sacrificed babies up in the mountains, because this was the center of diabolical activity. This was the devil's house. That's where they served the god Pan. And actually, the word panic comes from that place, because they toss babies that hit the rocks. And that there's a stream there that is filled with blood when they are doing their worship of this god. This was the gates of hell. When he says the gates of hell, he's saying this diabolical religious system shall not prevail over my church. And you are that church. Where did Jesus reveal himself? Where did the Father reveal himself to the people through Peter? In the darkest place in the land, well, the devilish things were happening. And I say to you today that in the darkest moments of your life, no matter how difficult the situation might be, that's where God is going to speak very clearly and say, you know what, son? This problem is not going to overtake you. You win, not the circumstance. So today, make that shift to connect with the Lord and say, yes, it may be dark. I'm not going to create my own light, my own sparks here and there. But I'm believing you that God, that you're going to release treasures to me in this dark place. And he will do it. Stay encouraged in the Lord and know that God will not let you down. He is faithful. He is faithful. He is faithful. He cannot lie. He stands with you, and he will prosper you in the path that he's led you to. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Bow your heads with me. Heavenly Father, you have a will. There's no doubt about it. And it is your will that must be done here in the earth as it is in heaven. The earth of our bodies, the earth of our world. We declare by the authority of your word that your will be done. Lord, oh God, you can bless us. You can increase us. You can promote us in spite of the circumstances that surround us. Those that say what they want to say may say whatever it is they want to say. But you have the final say. Your word is final. And we are convinced that your word to us is that you have great things in store for us. The manifestation of your glory, the manifestation of your power. Favor, oh God, that is not definable by natural mindsets. Things, oh God, that exceed our wildest dreams, hopes, and aspirations. Lord, we choose to look unto you, the author and the finisher of our faith, not to the circumstances that we see. Yes, this child may be hooked on drugs, but God, you have a prophet in him. And Lord, oh God, we declare that the prophetic mantle, Lord, oh God, will cause, oh God, every stronghold of addiction to be shattered. And Lord, oh God, that this son, oh God, will rise up by your spirit to declare, this is the word of the Lord. Father, no matter what the circumstance may be saying, we elect, O God, to look unto you, the God who saw a world that was broken down and messed up and did not gripe or complain about it, but began the process of recreation by saying, let there be light, because there was so much darkness. Lord, speak anew. Speak again. Cause us, O God, to have the hearing ear that speaks. Cause us, O God, to be those that are learned, so that we speak, O God, strength to the weary and bring hope to the hopeless. Father, we trust you. We trust, O God, that you will do a new thing. We see it and we celebrate it. But most of all, we celebrate you, for we seek you with all of our hearts, and we say, Father, let your kingdom come and your will now be done in our lives, in our world, in this your church, as it is in heaven. So now, here, let it be. In Jesus, our sovereign Lord's name, we thank you, Father, that you're resurrecting marriages that are falling apart. Hallelujah. You're healing relationships. You're healing bodies. You're turning situations around now. In the mighty name of Jesus, financial situations are being changed right now. Father, we give you praise. For Lord, oh God, you're breathing life to the dead. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You are calling those that are buried and left for dead out of their grave. Father, in the name of Jesus, even as you called Lazarus to come forth, so Father, in the name of Jesus, we call your sons and your daughters to come out of their tombs. And by the faith of Jesus Christ, we release them from this bondage, this bandage, O God, and linen, O God, use, O God, to embalm this dead one. We say in the name of Jesus, be free, be free. Eyes open up, see clearly. Ears open up, hear clearly. Mouths be open up, speak clearly. In the name of Jesus, arms be free. In the name of Jesus, feet be free. In the mighty name of Jesus, and by the authority of the word of God, you that were left for dead, walk out free from every limitation. Lord, O God, even as you raised up Paul, that was stoned and left for dead, and he got up after many days and continued his journey. So now in the name of Jesus, I declare, O God, that those have been counted for dead. Lives have been shut down and left for dead. Lord, O God, that there will be a breath, O God, that quickens. In the mighty name of Jesus, be quickened in your marriage, be quickened in your finances, be quickened in your business, be quickened in your relationship, be quickened in your finances, be quickened in every area of your life, spirit, soul, and body. In the name and authority of the word of God, we call it so done. And all of God's people together in agreement said, yes and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. To God be the glory. Amen. Amen. Yes, yes. Amen. Be blessed and be highly favored of the Lord.